We're teaching on a subject of what did Jesus say about the end times. One of the things is looking at Jesus' discourse would be very helpful for you, especially Jesus follows through here on this teaching. We're looking at it. We're reading from Matthew. Luke also has a really good discourse that has something Jesus did, which also adds some other things to it, you know, that Luke brought out. But one of the things that's really helpful, remember that Jesus' discourse here, also Jesus is the one who gave John the revelation, where we have the book of Revelation, and gave us that revelation. And if you really understand this, Jesus, in these things, we're looking at Matthew 24, and we're going to look at some things in 25. This discourse gives us a pattern of things for the book of Revelation, because you can take the book of Revelation and bring that over and fit it into the time periods here and see in the book of Revelation, where the book of Revelation gives you detail about the things that are going on in that time period, where here we're looking at an overall view of that time period. And so it's very helpful. That's one of the things that I've often wondered why people took the book of Revelation so hard. Also, I found this, that most people don't know much about these things that Jesus said either. And so they don't really understand that this really gives you a good overview of the book of Revelation. You can fit those things into that pattern. Now, we're going to look again tonight. We're in 24. Last week, we looked at some things dealing with the Antichrist, this guy that was going to come into power, the abomination of desolation, what it was that Jesus talked about. We looked at things that Daniel had said. We found that God had spoken to the Jews, for the Jews, from the standpoint of they could have told exact to the exact day, the year that Jesus, the Messiah, would die. So they would know exactly. They would know exactly when it was if they followed the pattern. Well, so. But we found out there were people, there were Jews who did know. I mean, we look at the fact the Messiah comes, and there's ones who knew who the Messiah was, and there's ones who didn't. The majority didn't know who the Messiah was. One of the things that you find today, that hasn't changed much. Out of God's people, lots of times God's people, the majority, don't know what's going on or what's happening. Randall Greer, in his teaching, Randall Greer said, if you follow the majority in the church, you're always going to be wrong. And it's always been like it. You always look through your history. You look at the history of the Bible. If you followed the majority of the Jews, you were wrong. There was only a minority that was walking right. The rest of them would end up following other things and doing stuff. I mean, it's a way it was. And it is the same way today. Majority of Christians are, they'll follow off on all kinds of belief doing things. I always thought it was funny because Randy Greer said, if you look at the 80% of the direction that the church is going, he said by default, if you head the opposite direction, you'll probably be following God. We don't follow them. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're not followed by what we see going on and what the majority of people. You don't look what other people are do to know that if you're following God, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're not led by people. And so we have to know what the Spirit of God is saying. That's why it's wonderful you and I have the Spirit of God in us. And so we're supposed to take the time to listen to the Spirit of God. And that takes time. It takes time to learn to do that. It is much easier just to sit down and listen to what somebody else says and go follow what they say than take the time yourself to actually know God for yourself. That requires time, and we live in a society that people don't have time. It's by their choice. It's our own choice. We don't have time. I watched it over the last 20 years of listening to people just all the time say, well, I'm just so busy. Well, when they would say that, it always had to do with the things of God. You know, well, yet I'd like to do this, but I'm just so busy. You know, I'm so busy, I can't spend time with God, but I really love Him. You know, I try to convince my wife I don't want to spend any time with her, but I really love her. You know, I'm sure she'll fall for that. I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, we really love Jesus, but we can't spend any time with Him. Okay, I'm sure He's going to buy that one. Anyhow, but we're going to go on here and looking. One of the scriptures that we had read from Thessalonians last week that told us about the fact of this guy who was going to come along, this Antichrist, he was going to... We read it, well, in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. I'll read the scriptures. There's two verses. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. In verse 3 and 4 said this, that let no one deceive you by any means. For the day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. I want you to see that because we had talked about that before. He says, let no one deceive you. So in other words, he didn't say, you know, pray to God, you won't be deceived. Deception is what you fall for. You know, God can't keep you from being deceived. If you don't pay attention and follow the truth, he's not going to sit around and say, okay, well, look, I'm going to make sure this guy don't get deceived and this guy over here, you know, well, let go. We determine whether or not we get deceived. He said, don't get deceived. That day won't come. And I said, falling away comes first. And he said, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we had looked at that before. And the fact that this individual, which will go into the temple of God, which is dealing with the abomination of desolation, and declare that he is God. And that time really turns on to what Jesus talked about when we had read in the Matthew 24, which we're going to go to now. Matthew 24, but Jesus had made the separation. When that takes place, that will set off what is called the Great Tribulation, which is a time period that has never been so bad before on the face of the earth. Now, if you go around and, like, you know, I like to say, you go in, especially reading older commentaries and that stuff. A lot of the older commentaries and things are wrong about end time stuff. Like, they'll put the things in there. They have, we talked about one of the things with the Antiochus Epiphanes, but some of them say that, well, the Jews and that stuff, the terrible things that happened in 70 AD when Jerusalem fell, that was terrible time it happened. Well, I'm sorry, but during the Second World War, there was a worse time for the Jews than it was during that period. So Hitler didn't desecrate the temple. So he was not the Antichrist. Now, one thing I want you to understand about Hitler, Hitler operated under the spirit of Antichrist. We have had different people in history who operate under the spirit of Antichrist. Now, they aren't the Antichrist. President Obama operated under the spirit of Antichrist. So that's people get, because I heard people say, well, when Obama got in the office, he's going to be the Antichrist. I said, no, he's not. He's not gonna. When you see somebody who operates in that spirit, that don't make them the Antichrist. You got to learn, the spirit of Antichrist has been in the earth. Go read 1 John. John talks about it. The spirit of Antichrist, and you got to, it's always been in operation. See, if we go back, Hitler tried to flow into that. That's what the thousand-year reign was about of the Nazis. That was the thousand-year reign. They were going to have it. See, the devil's always trying to bring that junk along. He's always trying to do it. So those things come along. They're there, and we see them. Is one thing about it. I mean, it's trying to figure out. Over the years, I've watched people try to figure out who the Antichrist was. I always told the people, when people do that, come along with that, I'd say, give it time. You'll find out you're wrong. You know, just, you're not, we're not trying to figure out who he is. That's not our job, to figure out who the Antichrist is. Shall I tell you what? I have never met people who do those kinds of things ever walk close with God. They always get into tangents, always off into tangents, trying to figure things, all this stuff out. That's not what we're called to do. Look what the Bible tells us. What did Jesus tell us we were supposed to do? You know, we got to be happy with the information God gives us and quit trying to write our own Bibles. Don't do that kind of stuff. Don't write your own Bible. You know, just... We don't need to add to, take away from, and so we staying away from those areas. But we found out that it had said in verse 22 of Matthew 24 that Jesus made the statement, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And so things are going to be so terrible. There's going to be so much death going on. So, I mean, it's going to be absolutely terrible. From the standpoint for the Jews, especially the Jews who believe Jesus. Remember, we're going to have the 144,000 are going to be preaching, and there's going to be Jews that are going to be believing that Jesus is the Messiah, and they are going to be hated. I mean, look what that spirit of Antichrist has done through the centuries to the Jews. Look what that spirit has done to that nation. If you think about the size of that nation and the amount of Jews were in the earth today, how many have been slaughtered over the, I mean, the century? It's phenomenal. And so you just the devil's always been after that. It's today, is understand this in a church world, people don't realize this, but martyrdom and Christianity. They say that there's more Christians dying today of martyrdom in the earth at any period of time. You know, don't think like, I mean, you go to places in Africa and that stuff over there, the Muslim groups are trying to kill the Christians off like crazy. And around the world, you know, it is going on. Christianity's under attack. Here in the nation, they aren't killing people yet, but if they have the chance, they will, I will guarantee you. Don't think these people that are operating against Christians, they wouldn't kill you. I mean, if you're that gullible and that strange, you may end up dead one day because of being so dumb. Don't you think the devil is a murderer? And if anything he wants to stop is Christianity. He don't want Christianity going on. He wants to take as many people to hell as he can. And that's his intent. So, in Matthew 24, we're going to pick up again on verse 23. Jesus tells us when this lousy time comes up, when this really bad time hits, then he says to us in verse 23, then it says, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, the word Christ is the Messiah, here's the Messiah, he said, or there, he said, don't believe it. He said, for false Christ, in other words, false messiahs, false prophets will arise, show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. If you go to the book of Revelation, it goes into more detail concerning the false prophet and the Antichrist is what he's going to be doing. So he said, don't believe it. It's number one, when the Messiah shows up, everybody will know. And this is one thing is that people need to understand is in the earth. Anybody that falls for the fact, even today, people fall for the things of people supposed to be messiahs. I have watched this over my years, short years in this earth of Christianity, and I've watched people rise up who say they were a messiah, and people follow after it. People get on the boat, the bandwagon. It's easy for them to follow. And, you know, people want to go ahead with those kind of things. See, now listen to what Jesus said. See, I have told you beforehand. These things are going to happen. You know them. So in other words, they are told beforehand. Any Christian can know today. Christians get sucked into things all the time today. They get sucked into stuff. People come along, claim to be something. Because number one, Jesus is not in the earth. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus shows up and comes to set up his kingdom, he tells exactly how he is going to show up, how they're going to see him, what's going to happen. The Bible says it specifically. It's no hidden thing. And if somebody don't show up like that, they are not the Messiah. It's that simple. I don't have to come up with I don't have to sit and pray and fast 2 seconds to know when Jesus is going to show up. I don't even have to be spiritual to know that. All I got to do is believe what the Bible says about it. When Jesus shows up to set up his kingdom, that we know exactly where he is going to go to. We know exact. So it's not going to be any kind of thing if anybody has to figure out. Why did Jesus say that? Now we, the church, won't be here, but the people in that day, with all the horrendous things happening in the earth, they need to know specific things. Remember, you're going to have a guy that's there, you're going to have a false prophet. He's going to be doing miracles. He's been calling fire down out of heaven. He's going to be doing all kinds of things. And I'm going to tell you today, I can stand here right now and name you big name ministers who demonic things happened in the earth and they claimed it was God.
And they claimed what?
It was God. Loads of them, big name ministers. Spirit filled. I don't know what spirit it is, but anything supernatural sucks people into it, and the bigger the name, it seems that they fall more for it. It's like anything that happens. They don't know the spirit that's in operation. They don't know what's going on or what's happening. And so we have a false prophet's going to be doing thing. This guy here is going to compare, you know, you don't claim yourself as being God unless you can do some things. You know, you better, I mean, you better have something to back this up. You know, and this guy here, I mean, he's going to get a large amount of people. The majority of the people on the earth are going to follow him. So he's going to have something to back some things up. And now you can interrupt people. Like today, people get fooled about things, and you know, people, you know, trying to always drum up. There's one thing is I can see from a technological standpoint, there's a lot of things that can be done that people would think were supernatural. Ministers have done it. I remember that one minister and that stuff, and he would, his wife would go down in the audience between, you know, before services and talk with people and get information from them. And then he wore a thing in his ear, and he would go out there, and she would tell him things, and he would stand there, and he was giving people words of knowledge. You know, he's just nothing but a deceiver. That's all he was a deceiver. Another minister, and I know this one minister, he would bring people. When people came into the church, if they were like on a walker or a cane or something, they would have wheelchairs for them and put them in a wheelchair. And then he would get down and minister to them and tell them to stand up and walk, and they would stand up and walk, and everybody would cheer. The person did walk in. They were doing that. They're doing this kind of stuff. Hey, people followed them by the droves, gave them millions. Watch him on TV and, oh man, this great ministry. I watch this stuff where I sit around and people say, man, you want to be, if you're a con man, you can make millions off of Christians because they're the dumbest people in the crowd. They don't check nothing out. They just follow after stuff. Christians will be the first gullible ones in the bunch. In the things of walking in love that we should be and, you know, overlook things, we don't. And the things that we're supposed to check out, we never do. So one thing is I learned to do. Number one is that where I learned to listen to this. Because you're not bright. You don't do this because you're smart. You're not smart enough to, you need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. If something's going on, and I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, if something inside of me just don't seem right about it, I've learned over time, you know, Brother Hagin, I remember him teaching us, he said, you know, you're better off slow about doing, the Lord told him in a vision, told him, I would rather have you slow, but slower moving than getting out ahead of me. Because he said, you get out ahead of me, and he said, you get out there, and after a while, you can't get back. He said, I'd rather have you slow and have to catch up, than he said, getting out there. And this is people that get out there and they just get out here doing things. You know, next they get out of left field so far, they don't know where Jesus is. They don't know who the Holy Ghost is. They don't know nothing. They've done listen to whatever that marble is rolling around between their ears. They think it's a brain. They've been listening to that jar and going back and forth. And it's clouded them so much. You got to learn to listen to the Spirit. But you know, if you listen, sometimes something might be right. But if it don't click in your spirit, you can't move on it till it's you know it's right. There's nothing wrong with stopping and slowing down. See, some people say, well, now you have to go do this. No, you got to follow your heart. That's what you got to do. You follow your heart is what you do. That's what you have to do. And so just learn to do that. Don't let people push you along. And that's one of the things is, these people in this time, is one of the things is I realize why Jesus is being so distinct with these people about what's going on is because of the pressure of the time. It's going to be huge. It's going to be enormous. You understand, the believer ain't going to be in a position at that time like we are as the church. And all that's going on, it's going to be horrendous. And but you know what? They got instructions from the Word. They got instructions, thank God for the Word. Hallelujah. Telling them what's going on. Verse 26 of that says, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert. He said, don't go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. Now, in the inner rooms, they don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about the temple. Ah, see, the Messiah's in the temple. Hey, there he is. You know, the Messiah is going to end up going to the temple. But everybody's going to see him come where he comes. So that is where we have, see, that's where the Word of God, they will know. He will go to the temple. But see, people are going to say, well, see, he's a, he snuck into town, see, and he got, no. See him. Yeah. And so we need to understand this is God has set up a pattern. He's telling, don't believe these things. Like today, I mean, today there are literally people in the earth who claim to be the Messiah and have large followings. Large followings. It's amazing. I mean, worldwide, there's people who claim to be Messiahs. Like I told you before, there was a guy down in South America there, and he ended up moving up to Florida, and he had over 1 million followers. A people. He's Jesus. Yeah, but anyhow, I mean, they had is that thinking? I mean, if you look over the years and that kind of stuff, the things that have happened, there's always been things that have come along like that where people have followed after. I mean, you ever think about what's his name, that Jones guy that let all those people down and died? And do you ever think, here's a guy, now he started off, I mean, he was a preacher of the word, got off in the field, but people had to leave the Bible to believe what that guy was doing. Yeah. I mean, people have to leave the Word of God. You can't stay. Now, we start and say, look, the following of these people, what happens or what goes on? You have to leave the Word. Now, see, those people, they turn on, they always point the finger at Jones. You know, when those people died, Jesus ain't going to point the finger at Jones. He's going to talk to them. You did this. You didn't believe the Bible. You didn't. He's going to say, it's all his fault. It's like I remember when with PTL and Jim Baker, I watched over the years that thing getting off track and getting off track and getting off track. I watched it. I remember as a young Christian, I told people and they criticized me. They, you know, oh, no, you see, you don't. You, that's a great work. That's a great work. I said, well, we're going to find out. It's a great work. And they're going on and on, and people went on, but they got followed. They were following this thing, and it falls apart. I had people who I thought was a great work came to me to criticize Jim Baker. I said, Jim Baker couldn't have done what he done if he didn't have people like you that promoted him to do it. You're the ones. You're the ones who promoted this thing. If you would have stopped and said, we ain't going with this no more, it would have ended it. But no. Hey, I want to give $1,000 and get free vacations for the rest of my life. Yeah, that was going to happen. Yeah, we're going here. You know what it was? It was greed of the flesh. That's what it was. People, their own flesh, full of greed, going out and doing what they did. They didn't give $1,000. They were getting paid. They were paid. We're going to give this $1,000 and get hundreds of thousands back. That's what we're going to do. And it gets over there to nuttiness and crazy. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow. So, we don't want to, this is why these things go on. Understand, this stuff goes on. It goes on today. People are easily deceived in that stuff. But the only reason we get deceived, if we leave the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. You're safe. When Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him, he said, the first thing he said to him about the end times and about the way they were, he said to him, he said, follow the Word. Number one, follow the Word. He said, the Holy Spirit, then he said, me. The Holy Spirit's going to always be before Jesus because he's the real Jesus. You don't have Jesus before the Holy Spirit for us. Now, Jesus is the head, but understand this. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus. You don't know the Jesus without the Holy Ghost. You don't know Him. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what. Anything I'm thankful for is the Holy Ghost. Jesus makes this statement then in 27. He says, for as lightning comes from the east to the west, he said, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, this is an important statement. Because if you would take and you would go over to Israel and you would see where Jerusalem sits and you see the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives on the left hand is on the east side. Do you know what? Storms don't come from the east to the west. They come from the west to the east. They come off the Mediterranean. The mountain over there stops rains from coming over. That's why you have the desert on that side. That's why you go over those mountains and you got the Dead Sea. That's why you got those places over there, because of that. And he said, like lightning comes from the east to the west. And that's how Jesus is going to come from the east and on the Mount of Olives and enter Jerusalem. He'll be heading west in through the gate. Like lightning, he's going to come at an instantaneous of a time. He's going to come a flash. Everybody's going to see him. It's like when all this is going and the Antichrist is going to think he's got a hand on this thing, all of a sudden, bang, Jesus blows in town in an instantaneous. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be like lightning. He's coming in. He's going to come and step on the Mount of Olives. It's going to divide. Bible tells us. All that stuff's clear in Scripture. You go over the book of Revelation. You go over and read the prophets. You can see and understand exactly. He tells those people exactly what's going to take place. What's going to be happening in Jerusalem at that time. The battle that's going to be going on. Also, we're dealing with Armageddon and all those things are going to be happening. All that stuff is piling up right there. And Jesus is going to deal with it. So Jesus steps in, and he steps in really is the whole point of his. Jesus steps in to save the remnant of Israel. That's what he steps in for. He steps in to save the remnant of Israel. Because they would be destroyed if he didn't. If he hadn't stepped in, they wouldn't be saved. He said, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." In other words, it's talking about these are carrion birds. In other words, the Bible talks and teaches about the fact of what's going to happen with Armageddon and all the birds are going to be a big feast. The death and the dead is going to be so much. Well, those things are part of what's going to take place. So we see these things. Jesus is explaining. So they can look and see in the times of what's going on. They will know specifically about these things or what's happening. And understand this, people, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, why does God bother telling us? We're the church, we're not going to be here." We're the body of Christ. We're Christ. It's not hidden from us. The future is never hidden from the church. I grew up in around in Christianity, and they were always, you know, like God was always hiding things from us, and God was always, you know, you just never know what God's going to do. Well, they didn't, because they confessed they'd never know what God's going to do, and so they didn't. They never knew what he was going to do. That's all they did, is run around and confess. You just never know what God's going to do. Well, I found out it's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. If God don't tell his people, how can you follow somebody you never know what he's going to do? I mean, that's going to be a good one. We never know what he's going to do. How you cannot live a life by faith. If I don't know God's character and how he reacts in situations, how can I walk by faith? How can I know I can trust him in a situation if I never know he's going to do it? Faith is required. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know what God is going to do, you cannot have faith in him. Impossible. You can't trust one you don't know. If you don't know he'll deliver you, you can have not faith deliver you. If you don't know he will heal you, you have no faith to be healed. You can't have faith to be healed unless you know he will. Faith is based on his word. You have to know or you couldn't have faith. So we got to come. This is the wonder. This is why these people, and he said, they'll be able to trust the word of God. And that's what we are today. We have got to learn to trust the Word of God. And they're going to have the Word of God of what's going on. They're going to have a pattern to look for. I'm sure that this 144,000 will be preaching this stuff. I'm sure they will be laying out to people. And especially sitting at time, I imagine the revelation that God will bring to them in that time period. Probably a lot of detail of things that maybe we don't even see or understand today. But he will bring to them during that time period that they will know. I've noticed this, and I've learned this in my own personal life. The more you get closer into walking on certain things that you're coming to in life, the more he reveals to you because of the time that you're in. That he reveals to you. And that's, you know, there's things in the past and that stuff that people taught about and did things and that stuff. And a lot of things got off base, especially the end times. Loads of stuff got off base because people were trying to teach what wasn't revealed. They're trying to teach what wasn't revealed yet. You know, I remember my father seeing that as he got older. You know, he started seeing things and started understanding things that, you know, the period of time in his life and certain things are being revealed to now. Since the time that he was in, it's like, oh yeah, it's sure a lot different than we thought. It's a lot different. And see, people need that. That's why is one of the things is I've learned over the years is you don't if the Spirit isn't revealing, don't preach your ideas. Don't matter what my ideas are. Don't matter what they are. It don't matter my opinion. It don't matter. My opinion means nothing. The only thing that means anything is revelation. And we've had a lot that has not been revelation and from people. Just stick with what the Word said. I found out the Word's exciting in itself, and it's very revealing in what it is. He's telling us what we want to know, and if we need any more understanding, He will show us. All we have to do is continue to walk by faith, hallelujah, and trust in Him. So, we're going to go on here. We want to look at Matthew. We're going to continue into Matthew 24 here. And I want you to see something because now we have with Matthew 24 and 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, after the tribulation, in other words, there's a tribulation of those days. He said, after that. So this is in a sequence. Remember, this is a sequence. He's telling you this great tribulation. He said, after those days, he said, the tribulation days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So there's going to be some dramatic things. Now they understand is one thing is they can know this is immediately after the tribulation. This is the return of the Messiah. These events, this is once he things that they can know. We don't know the day. He said, he tells them they don't know the day nor the hour. But they can know this. They're at the end. When they see this natural events take place in the heavens, they will know they're standing at the door of this thing. They'll know it. They will know when this happens. Jesus is telling immediately. When this thing will happen. Now, I want you to look at it because we have, this is where sometimes people I've watched, and this is where we need to be very careful about in the areas of teaching. Because we have, if we go to the book of Acts in the second chapter, and we have Joel, where Joel's prophecy is used by Peter. Peter used Joel's prophecy. And prophecy of Joel, we're going to go over what we're going to read in Acts, and we're going to read over in Joel. About these events, because since it is mentioned, these are where these things are mentioned, and how do they fit? So we have here in Acts the second chapter, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost took place, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, these people wanted to know what this was going on, and the Spirit of God came on Peter. Now Peter didn't come up with it. He didn't go run and get his Bible out and turned and started looking back through till he got to Joel. Remember, he didn't do that. The anointing come on him. Just think about Peter and him. Of not really, if we look at them not too far before, and all of a sudden they get saved, and now all of a sudden everything changes. And so this guy, he comes up and he says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now listen to what he says, and on my handmaidens and on my on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, this is interesting because you go on among groups, you know, you have groups, and they still do. They have groups that don't believe in women preaching and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how women are going to prophesy. Why would God pour the Spirit on them? They ain't allowed to say nothing. I just don't know. I don't know. I just can't get that one. I just can't figure that one out. He's going, but they're not allowed to do it. I mean, Philip, he had two daughters that said he had three daughters. They prophesied. So I guess that was all a lie. You know, he was backslidden buzzard. I don't know what he was doing. But people get into their things and into their beliefs. And but there we have. He said these things are going to happen. And then he makes these statements. Now, he goes, the prophecy, he said, the Spirit, he said, in those days, and they shall prophesy. He said, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great, awesome day of the Lord. Now, this event is going to take place. Now, you need to understand this. This prophecy is stated, up until this time, the Jews don't know anything about the church, even at this time. This prophecy of Joel, understand, Joel's prophecy, when we think of it, one of the things I really like is when you read Peter, and Peter does the thing, he says, when he talks about people in the end times, he says, one thing they forget, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. Do you understand this? In God is speaking, this is not Peter's voice is being used, but this is the Holy Ghost talking. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit. And you know what? As far as God's concerned, in 2 days, this ends. That's right. You need to understand, on the day of Pentecost, in God's mind, it's 2 days. This is over. See, we don't look at... See, we sit here, and when we read the Scriptures, we're always doing things in man's time with man's mind and man's idea. He's not. He just gave a prophecy that Joel had done, and Joel did it by the Spirit. Joel spoke by the Spirit of God and said this. When that day comes when the Spirit's poured out, hey, it's time, it's going to be right at the end before the big day comes. And it is. In 2 days. In 2 days. But see, we look at it from man's view, and it's spoken by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is giving, in other words, there is. He was correct, the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. That he was exactly correct. That happened that day. That was the beginning of that. That's what it was supposed to be. But immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke the end. He spoke the day it begins, and he spoke what's going to happen on the day it ends. In this prophecy. Quite unique. See, this is one thing is why you can't, in your mind, sit down. I remember years of reading over these things. People said, I remember listening to people teaching, oh, this there, the sun getting dark, the moon blood, oh, this is what it means. No, it figuratively, it actually means exactly what it said. They were trying to turn it into something that he was, because they didn't know where the prophecy came from. They thought that their prophecy was going to fill the whole thing immediately. They didn't understand what it was about. See, that's one of the things. That's why I listen to people talk and I think, you know, I don't know where they're coming from, but I know it ain't right. I know they're not saying, somehow inside of me I knew what they were saying wasn't right. But see, they're talking and trying to explain things. I'm thinking, somehow there ain't revelation. But over time, God gave revelation. Over time of sitting down and listening and realizing. See, it's one thing is I had to learn. This is one of the great messages today that we have with prophets. I'm just going to be blunt. The majority of prophets are messed up because they don't know how the Spirit of God operates in prophecy in the prophet's ministry. They don't know how it works. Many people are prophesying out of their own ideas in their own heart, under their own beliefs, not by what the Holy Ghost is saying. You can prophesy on your own spirit, just like I said before. People did that concerning, well, Trump's going to be the next president. They were prophesying what they wanted out of their own spirit, their own belief. Wasn't God's belief. Wasn't God's. And you can do that. You can prophesy. You can speak out of your own desire and belief. But when you're going to try to change a nation, or you're going to speak out the futures of a people, you better have the Holy Ghost on you saying that, and you don't speak till you know it's the Holy Ghost talking. You don't speak till you know it's the Holy Ghost, till the anointing comes. I've learned that. I've learned over time. It isn't about what you want. It's one thing for you making a confession in your personal life, your desire that God gives you. But I tell you, there's things you ain't going to confess out. The Holy Ghost must be anointed, has to be on you to say it, to bring it to pass. The prophets of old and speaking the future out. These guys didn't do it because they wanted some certain thing to happen. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke by the Spirit of God. We know little about that today. The prophets are speaking by their own will and their own ideas of things. It's leading people astray. And we need to come down and say, hey man, you know, it's like Randy Greer said, the Lord told him, he said, and used the scripture where it says there was silence in the heaven for a space of a half an hour. And he said, God wants the church to shut up. Quit speaking things out and saying it's God. Just speak the word. Word's good enough. God will bring revelation. And he will anoint people to speak if they will stay silent about what they think and what they believe. He will anoint them to speak for him. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is speaking for God. It ain't speaking for me. It ain't speaking for you. It's speaking for God. That's what prophecy is. The anointing of the prophet came on, and the prophet spoke for God. He spoke in God's stead. He stood in God's stead and spoke out in the earth. And we need to come back to that. Do you know you're always going to fit? The majority of the prophets are going to speak false stuff. We know that. Follow the Bible. What happened? I mean, you see Jeremiah. He's the only, him and a couple guys in town are the only ones saying the right things. The rest of the prophets, the majority of the prophets, oh, it's all going to be wonderful. It's all going to be good. Everything's going to turn out. You got to run around saying that today. I'm just telling you, everything ain't going to turn out great. Everything ain't going to be wonderful. And these guys that are running around prophesying, they're liars. Jesus Christ, when he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, concerning America, he said, if there's not repentance in America, he said, that's the only thing that will save us. He didn't say the prophets were going to save us by making good confessions. And if we make good confessions, nothing bad will happen. Well, good luck on that one. That ain't happening. If there's not a repentance, if there's not a turning, you know what? Jeremiah tried everything he could to turn for Israel around himself. He tried. He believed. He wept. He was, oh man, he wanted to turn. He didn't want to happen to them. He tried. He couldn't do it. You know why? God wouldn't speak it. Unless God spoke it through him, you can't turn it around. But they had gone to the point, they're refusing to repent. He can't turn it around. Right now, America's destiny is not in the hands of God. It's in the hands of men. It is not in the hands of God. And don't you believe these people that are saying it? They're liars. Our destiny is whatever we bind on earth will be bound. What are we allowing? What's man allowing in this earth? We got these people that are prophesying, saying all this stuff. And say, hold it, hold it. They left the Bible. We ain't leaving the Bible. That's the only thing we got to sustain us. We don't want to get in left field concerning the Bible, folks. We want to stay close to it. It's our salvation. Hallelujah. God will take care of us, just like He took care of Jeremiah in time of trouble. All the rest of them. I mean, my God, the enemy of Israel fell in love with him. He walked with God, and then the king says, come on up. Come on to Babylon. I'll take care of you. Look after you. I mean, dear God, the enemies of Israel. You follow the word. You don't follow the people. You don't follow all this other junk. You follow the word of God. Listen to the word of God. I'm telling you, you'll stand secure. God will take care of you. God will bless you. My job ain't trying to change everything else. I can't, if God don't move, you can't change this nation. It's going to have to, you know, we're regular if I just make good confessions. That's what they tried that stuff for the presidency. Well, how'd that work? See, it's all this stuff carried to extremes. And we got to get away from this stuff and get over it. But anything right now, we need to hear from heaven. I don't know about you. I heard me enough. I mean, God, what are you saying about it? I may have wonderful desires and wonderful things, but it doesn't. What does God want? What does God want? See, we have a life, we're just starting to try to pick out our own life, and we're trying to pick out our own, and we've been taught in these things, and we've gotten away from, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I ain't got enough good sense without the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you. I ain't got enough good sense without the Holy Ghost. I don't. If anything I need is the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. Hallelujah. Because He is filled of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And he's been given the job to reveal the wisdom of God to us. I can't get it someplace else. I can't. The Bible just becomes a book to me without the Holy Ghost. It's just nothing but. It's not life and revelation. It became life and revelation. It's by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where are we at on this? Let's go over to Joel. Let's look at the book of Joel. Let's go over to the prophecy of Joel, because there's things that we learn as we look. Because it's making sure these quotes are made. But it's good to sit and read these things and read where it originally came from and looking at these things, because so we know the scriptures and know that I've always gone by the things of the Bible says, where two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So it's always good to go and look at scripture. It verifies to you. Hallelujah. God wants you full of His knowledge and His understanding. He wants you to know things. You know, people use sometimes the quotes from Isaiah, you know, and they use the thing that says, "My ways are not your ways." You know, it says, it goes through this thing, it says the Lord. You know, they misquote that. They pull that scripture out of its context and they say, "See, God's ways aren't like our ways. God's way is not like your ways. It's because you're not following God." Because if you read that whole chapter, he made that statement on the basis of Israel was in paganism and got away from God. And he said, "Your ways are not my ways." He goes, because he said, "My word." In other words, if they come over to his word, he said, they come down out of heaven. He said, like rain on the earth. And he said, they don't return void. See, they weren't getting nothing back because they weren't walking in the knowledge of God. And see, that scriptures are misquoted all the time by ministers preaching. They always start, they start off their teaching with that section. And then what it does, it leaves you in a place of fear. See, I'm just not as bright as, I'm never going to be that as bright as I need to be. That isn't what he's talking about at all. They were supposed to know that. They were supposed to have the knowledge of God. They were supposed to know the will of God. The prophet Isaiah said by the Holy Ghost and told them that they didn't, because they were a bunch of pagans. They were living like hell is what they were doing. But that wasn't the plan of God. The knowledge of God, they were supposed to have it. Hallelujah. The Word of God was supposed, they were supposed to know about the Word of God coming down like rain out of heaven on them. Hallelujah. And not returning void. Hallelujah. Without accomplishing what God said. See, they weren't accomplishing what God said. It wasn't happening for them. Because they weren't walking in the Word of God. They weren't doing it. His ways weren't their ways, but they could have been. They had forefathers before them who had walked in the ways of the Lord, who knew them. And they were in a position they didn't know. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God, we can know. And we do know. Hallelujah. And we're after it to know. Glory to God. We want to know. We want to know what God's saying. In Joel, the second chapter, I'm going to start verse 28. It says, again, here he speaks, he said, "It'll come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servant, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." I often wondered about that. You said, you know, the young men will see visions, the old men dreams. I remember I was only in my 30s and I was having dreams. And I was wondering about that. I thought, well, my 30 must be old. I don't know. I must have been old at 30. I don't know what happened. I was having dreams and stuff. Well, anyhow, hallelujah. Maybe God had to get me to sleep to show me something. I don't know. Maybe when I was awake, he couldn't do it. I don't know. Hallelujah. Well, it was working. But here he goes. Then he goes, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." See, there's a remnant. Understand this day. You know what this thing they're telling you in? I'm just going to tell you, explain it to you. This is the last call. When they see that happen, that's the last call. Because the next event is Jesus Christ appearing. And once Jesus Christ didn't appear, there's no salvation for anybody on the earth. It ends. You can't get saved after he shows up. This is the last call. This is what this prophecy is telling us. The last call is here, folks. That's why he says, when you see these signs in the heavens, you see these things going on, the Messiah is about to show up. This is last call, let us call on the name of the Lord to be saved. See, all these signs along the way that we've been looking at, these are all markers that people can look at to know the time period in that, hey, this Messiah thing is real. This Jesus, the Messiah, is the real thing. That's why I totally believe these 144,000 are going to be preaching this stuff clearly. The signs, the things that are laid out in Scripture so people in that day know. Hey, see these things? This. They know. They know. Now, I'm going to guarantee you these guys will be good preachers of revealing from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Messiah. That's one thing the church has lost. The church can't hardly preach Jesus the Messiah out of the Old Testament. They can't even preach Him out of the New Testament. They don't know Him out of the New Testament, much less the Old. But anyhow, hallelujah. But see, this is the wonderful thing. This is why when we look at these things, how wonderful they are, because God is laying out for a people. There's a remnant. He wants to save. Understand, God's doing this thing. He ain't saving the Jews because of any great thing they did. The Bible tells us He's going to do this for His namesake. He made a promise. He made a promise to David. He made a promise to others. He's going to fulfill it no matter what they do. I'm going to do it because I said I would. To them. Thank God. Do you ever think about that for yourself? If you follow God and walk with God, God will bring deliverance for other people for your sake. He's done with my brothers and sisters. He told me He would. He said, because you followed me and walked where I told you to go, He said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. And He has been doing it, bringing them in. He said, I'm going to do it. Because you walked with me, you did this, I'm going to do this for you. God will move. God covenanted all through the Bible. God made covenants with David that it wasn't for Israel, it was for David. God made covenants. Do you know? So yeah, well, I've taught it before, but Saul was supposed to have the covenant David got. He was supposed to have that covenant. He messed up, but God was looking for somebody to bless. I'm going to find somebody I can bless, somebody I can do something for. And he found a guy to do it. He said, okay, you get it. You get first prize. Woo. Hallelujah. He got the blue ribbon. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. There, he said, for the remnant. Now, I want to go to the next chapter, to verse 1. Now, understand, this is why we need to be very careful when you read the Bible. This is one of the things that when you're reading the Bible, it was not written in chapter and verse. And this was added by man. And that's why when you change chapters, we change subjects. It's the same thing. He said, for behold, in those days, okay, in those days at that time. Now, he tells us, in those days at that time when this event's taking place. So we know this has to do, he said, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided my land. The United States is going back after this again. I'm going to tell you, no nation will survive that divides the land. No nation has ever survived as be a great nation who divides the land of Israel. Never. In the United States. See, United States, you know, George H.W. Bush, the reason he didn't get to be his second presidency, he only made it one term. And you know why? Because he picked a guy for Secretary of State, and his name was James Baker. And James Baker tried to divide the land in Israel. And that's why he lost the presidency. He didn't get to be the president. James Baker was trying to divide it. Clinton ended up president. Everybody got mad. You need to understand, there's things in God's list that's more important than what we think of who's in office. He tried to divide the land. When his son got in office, he at first tried to start to do it. And I was wondering, because he stopped. In his second term, he quit. He didn't try to do it anymore. I didn't really realize why till Randall Greer one day told us about a vision he had. In this vision, he said it seemed so real, he thought it was real. He said, I was standing there in this place, and he said, George W. Bush walked up to me in the vision and walked right up in front of me, and he asked me something. I forget what it was about the United States, and he asked something to him about it. And he said some things to them about the word of, what the Word of God says. And he said, the president turned around to walk away. And he said, he started walking away. And he said, all of a sudden he turned back to me. He said, can I ask you a question? And he said, Randall Grisham, he said, in the vision, I thought, the president was asking me a question. This is, and he said, well, yeah. He said, what about Israel? And Randall Greer said, in the vision, he said, the anointing of God came on me. And he said, I looked at him and I said, you leave Israel alone. He said, no nation, and he told him this, no nation has ever survived or ever made it that tries to divide the land in Israel. And he quoted some scripture to him. And George W. Bush said to him, thank you, and turned around and walked away. And he said, when after that happened to me, he said, it just sort of blew my mind. He said, because it seems so real. He said to me in this vision. And he said, I watched after a while. He said, his administration never tried to divide the land again. They stopped trying to do it. And he said the rest of his second term, he didn't even mess around with Israel and them concerning what was going on with the Palestinians and all that. He didn't fuss with them over it. So he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know if George knows he did that or not. He said, I have no idea. I don't know. But he said, in the vision I saw, he said, I saw this thing happen. And he said, the guy stopped. God put the brakes on. And you know what? The brakes are off right now. It's not good for America. See, we think all this junk we're messing around with is so important in this nation, and the Republicans and the conservatives are fighting all over this stuff. I'm going to tell you, the most important thing in God's agenda right now is a nation that we're have our backs turned on. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll have more to do with our destruction and all things we think is bad and this and other thing. It'll have more to do with it than any of them. Because we don't know what's on God's agenda. The average minister ain't prayed enough to know what's on God's agenda. You don't know. God has an agenda. I heard a minister say this years ago. He said, you know, he said, you need to understand this. He said, abortion's a terrible thing we do in today's in our nation and the things that we've done. But he said, we're at a day and time where he said the focus is coming off of America. He said, we're at the end. And he said, we're looking at the nation of Israel. He said, the time of the Gentiles is being fulfilled. And he said, the number one thing ain't God's agenda is not abortion right now. He said, we can't keep messing around with Israel. And I've watched that over there. We're a nutty bunch of people. The church in America is self-centered, selfish, thinks it's all about us, and let's get all, you know, we don't understand what's important. The Bible says this, and I believe it's true, and all these people try to come up with these things out of Scripture. Like, but the Bible says this concerning Israel, and says that nobody's going to stand with them. I believe the Bible's true, and I don't believe these so-called prophets and whatever else if I've heard men say about all, yeah, United States is going to stand with Israel and all that kind of stuff. Well, so, you know, people sit and talk and blow their little horns and say their little things. I done read in the Bible. There's nothing else on the subject. God gets last word. I don't care what they say that they're doing. And we need to understand that, the things that are going on, this messing around, things that are important with God. And we need to know that. There's one thing is I really think because really one of the greatest blessings that Trump did was to move our nation's into Jerusalem embassy. We moved our embassy into Jerusalem. You know, that's the greatest thing that man did. See, a lot of people don't realize that. Every president has lied before him, almost every one of them. George H.W. Bush lied about it, said he was going to do it. Clinton said he was going to do it. George W. Bush said two, he was going to, you know, in Israel and that stuff. Not all of them lied. They used it in their campaigns and that kind of stuff, but every one of them lied. They're liars. There's a guy named Trump came along and he did it, and those same people criticized him. There's a bunch of liars. And they were good people, and they said, he's bad, he shouldn't be, you know, he's too rough, he's too this. Like lions, all right. Last time I checked, all liars are going to be a lake of fire. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe not. Maybe the Bible ain't real. I don't know. Well, it's written in the book of Revelation that all liars are going to be a lake of fire. It's good. Jesus Christ promoted that one, so I think it just may well very be. But during that time period we're reading about here, this time of this is going to go on, we're going to see these signs. And during these signs, remember this, at this time, remember, so this isn't going to be something that we're going to see like a day or so where that those events are going to happen in the sky where they're going to see those things. It's going to be a period of time because that's, it says, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that's where Armageddon, that's, it's called, that time they call it the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's where those armies are all going to come. So in other words, this has really to do with the last attack on Israel, on Jerusalem and all those things. And Jesus is going to show up. So this ain't going to just be like one day, all of a sudden, the sun, you know, and all this stuff. This is going to be a period of time that we're going to see it because those armies are going to move into there. Or during this time, it's salvation. This is the last call to believe in Jesus because he's at the door to come back. Those armies are called there because when he comes back, he deals with those. He deals with those armies. And so those things are sitting at the door. And so really we have those things that were spoken of here. And you know, it's one thing that's especially is we'll end here with this. We'll pick up later on when I come back and we go in these teachings. Is this lays out really, Jesus laid out wonderful, a pattern here of how these events will fall into time as they go through. And you can, that's why you get to other scriptures. They fit into these things. They fit right into them. And so this is the wonderful thing of it, is aside with the book of Revelation. All this fits in. When people sit down and look at all this stuff and they're trying to figure all this stuff out, let the Bible figure itself out. The Bible does a good job. And so we have these patterns. Is one of the things is sitting down and reading. Like if I've heard like over the years and the amount of times that scriptures were used and people would pull them out here, they'd pull a scripture and try to build a big thing out of just a certain section of scripture. That's not what this is for, doing that. This is a whole layout in a thing to so you hold under the understand the whole thing. We have this thing, we want to build big air castles out of little places and make big doctrines and big ideas and stuff out of some few scriptures here and a few scriptures there. That's not what this is about. Jesus didn't stop giving one or two scriptures. He said and spoke this thing to them. He laid out what things were going to look like over a period of time. And it works if you understand it over the period of time. It'll make sense. And then you can go over, like you have the book of Revelation, then you have other details of things. You can put things in their place where they belong. And so you can see what things look like, and you don't have to try to be some great rocket scientist to figure out. We've had all these people, and I always think about, you know, the books. I mean, Randy Greer made a statement one time, you know, we had people teaching. I remember Hilton Sutton. He used to teach on end times all the time and talk about Hilton Sutton. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest. You look back, there's a lot of things that Hilton Sutton taught, I mean, he was completely wrong about. And you look at it today, and you look and say, my words. Why? He speculated too much on things. He had too much speculation of what he thought things were. I don't know what things it'll be. I don't, you know, there's things that aren't clear yet what they'll be. I don't have to try to figure out if this is going to be this, or this is going to be an explosion, or this is going to be an atomic bomb, or this is going to, sit around and, what are people trying to do? That ain't important. It's wasting our time trying to figure out things that have nothing to do with what's going on. We miss the whole part. You know, God's trying to get people saved. And the church is trying to spend its time figuring out about every little detail about the end times on what kind of tank they're going to be running in, if they're going to be building. You know, I'm not the guy, well, they're building wooden tanks now. And they're going to be, and they never built no wooden tanks. They never did none of that kind of stuff. I mean, this kind of, just people doing dumb things, saying stupid stuff, and just spending their time wasting on that stuff. What is the purpose? God has one purpose in everything, and it's the salvation of man. And you cannot lose that. That's the foundation of this whole thing. God is in the saving business. When judgment is coming, and there's two different types. There is judgment that is brought to destroy. There's judgments that come to take people, try to turn them from darkness to light. And you have to know the difference and understand. God is going to be trying to turn people from darkness to light. And he will come to the place where he will pour out his wrath. Where he will quit drawing and destroy. And we have to understand these things. This is all on the basis God wants to save people. And when he leads people to the point where they don't want saved no more, then everything changes. But God is in a salvation. All of this is done for the salvation purposes. God wants to reach people. God wants to reach heathens. You know, God wants to reach Pelosi. You know, God wants to reach these people. He's not looking at them from the standpoint, you guys are so nice, they're so ugly, let me kill them. God's in the salvation business. He always does it. He'll always work. God will always. That's why he's so merciful. If God wanted to wipe people out, I mean, my words, he could do it. You think he could, you know, he could just do it if he wanted to. I mean, what's man going to do to him? You know, all this huge army's going to come, you know, and they're going to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. How hard do you think it's going to be for Jesus, God, to show up and say one word and pfft? I mean, it ain't nothing but a blood spot down there in the valley. That's all there is. Yeah. I think you're down there, one blood spot in the valley, one word, and it's pfft, you're gone. Everybody's wondering, oh, God's going to have to use an atomic bomb. He's going to have to borrow one off of somebody. He's going to ask Israel if he can get a couple of theirs. And he's going to, you know, knock it off, people. He ain't God no more.
He's coming back with the sword in his mouth, which is the word.
Yeah. And he's going to speak the word, and that's all he needs. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God's good. And so, but I'll tell you, he's in the saving business, and he ain't quit saving yet. So he's still in the saving business. Let's use the word to let people. Don't use the word, you know. It's one of the things you tell people this. It will scare them, but if it scares the hell out of them, that's good. Because they come to Jesus. Whatever we tell them. You know, you need to understand this. There's some people will come to the word because of the mercy and love of God. But there's people that ain't coming without fear. There's going to have to. There's many people will not turn until terrible things happen. They won't turn. They're going to have to get hell scared out of them. Now, this will be vulgar. That's literally what's going to happen to them. They're going to have to get hell scared out of them, and there are people who will. I don't care what it takes. Let's get them saved. It's about saving people. The church today, pity patty, everything. Most people today don't care about nice. The only thing that's going to turn them, they're going to have to get it scared to the point. They're going to have to come to that point. We're at it, folks. We're in a nation that only terror is going to move them. I hope it ain't the church that has to have terror to get them to move. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, you're so gracious and kind. Wonderful, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, I delight in your word. Lord God, Lord, it's your word that saved us. We would have never been born again if your word hadn't come forth. Father God, you had some faithful servant preach the word. And we heard it. And faith came by hearing. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we came to the place that word, just words out of your mouth, Lord God, saved us. Took us from darkness to light. Turned us into your own very, very own children. Absolutely astounding. Hallelujah. Set us apart, Lord God, to yourself. And Lord, I'm just so thankful and grateful. And Lord God, on top of it, you made us temples of the Holy Ghost. You put the Spirit of God in us. My. How wonderful. You're an absolutely incredible God. We just want to thank you. Father, at this day and time, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you raise up a people in this day and hour that know who they are in this time, know what's going on, what's happening. Lord God, a people who know what's important and what's not. Lord God, a people full of the Holy Ghost and power. Lord God, who are like Noah, planning on leaving and not staying. Hallelujah. People who are ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Lord God, Lord, if I look back at the many years ago that you spoke to Kenneth Hagin's mother and told him that his job, that baby that was born, it actually died at birth and was raised from the dead. That baby said was going that baby was going to get his people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to thank you. Lord God, that's been the whole purpose concerning that ministry, is to raise up people to preach the word to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God, for a people who are ready. Because Lord God, if we're not ready, we can't reach people. Hallelujah. But Lord God, you're raising up a people who are ready, who are believing that Jesus Christ is is returning. That He's the Messiah. That salvation comes under no other name. Hallelujah. That there is no other name. That salvation, hallelujah, alone can save man and nothing else. And I thank You, Lord God, that You gave us the ability and the anointing to preach that good news. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we don't have to die in our wickedness and shame. That we can be saved. Hallelujah. Delivered by the power of God. Caught up to be with Jesus in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. What good news. So we thank You, Father God. Thank You for allowing us, Lord God, to minister these wonderful, gracious words to others. And we thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.